Welcome to St. Augustine this evening. Amanda, tell everybody hello.
Hello, everybody.
Amanda's having the most calm day she's ever had as producer. It doesn't look like it, but she's really calm back there. Everything's going perfectly. Sorry we're running a few minutes late. We had a glitch or two, but Clay, Amanda, and Pete are fixing said glitch. So if you have that many people fixing it, you know there was a really simple, easy glitch that anybody could have fixed.
Of course.
Or not. But want to thank all those guys for fixing it and getting us back up and running, because we've just got an amazing group of people. And I'm fixing my phone because we're a little late coming up. So I've got on here, I got everybody up. So do a couple of reads. Welcome to Wednesday's show. We've got a great guest for you. We have no parental supervision today, so I am not responsible for what happens. There's no filter. This will be a seventh grade lunchroom class. And as my wife said today, with that guest, behave yourself. And I said, what about Amanda?
That's the danger.
What about Amanda? No one warns Amanda to behave herself. So, okay, Amanda, I guess I'm the one that has to behave myself today. Yeah. I'm not even the oldest guy on the show today, which really gets me excited. I'm like happy about that too, right?
Bobby's going to have something to say about that.
I know. Ray's Tire and Service, they're your number one shop in St. Augustine. For over 38 years, they're locally owned and operated for three generations. They've got over 40 employees to serve their customers. And Ray's Tire on US 1 South can perform any standard maintenance you may need. They can also do vehicle repairs, from minor repairs to complete engine and transmission replacement. They carry all major brands of tires and are very competitive with their pricing. Don't trust a chain store. Trust the Ray's family. They promise you won't be disappointed. Ray's Tire and Service, 1375 US 1 South, online at raystire.net. And it's that time, Amanda.
Yay.
Especially with this guest, this is the appropriate ad. Land Title of America, whether you realize it or not, when you refinance the sale or purchase of a home, there's a title company involved. Don't get stuck with some out-of-town title company who doesn't give a crap when you're faced with challenges. Stay local and choose Land Title of America. Just call or text Stephen Collins. And if you text him, he will text you back. 904-501-4481. He specializes in all types of real estate transactions. Land Title, your local title company, insuring America's land one title at a time, because
they give a crap.
That's it, Amanda. All right, what do you got for money-making ads today?
All right, today I have Brightway Insurance. Opening their doors in 2008, Brightway Insurance, the Casey agency, has proudly stood by their customers through hurricanes, major floods, hail, and fires. Through these events, the agency has become a much-needed insurance resource in times of trouble and hardship. Honesty and integrity are the pillars of their core values, says owner Ashley Casey. They pride themselves on being insurance experts while developing strategies that help our clients meet their insurance needs. They truly enjoy the relationships that they have forged, and the office has a real love for St. Augustine, which inspires all of them to do their very best for you. So check them out at Brightway Insurance, Casey Agency. We also have Solar Stick. They were established in 2006. Solar Stick is a local portable power company proudly committed to American manufacturing, constant innovation, and creating jobs right here in St. Augustine, Florida. Solar Stick's focus on providing solutions for self-sufficiency helps users all over the world complete missions and save lives. Solar Stick, changing lives, saving lives, and reviving American manufacturing. Back to you, Mike.
All right. Thank you, Amanda. You're getting good at those. You're much better than me.
I get tripped up on all the S's.
You're doing really, really good. So we have a couple of reports. We've got the surf report from Brightway Insurance, the Casey agency. There's a window of surf. I don't know when it's going to hit, but there's waves and there's wind, and the goal is to get the right wind and the waves. And I've already had two offers to go south, not of the border, just south in Florida. To go surfing, and I'm trying to figure out if either one of those will maybe work. And also, I've renamed. We always give you an update on things that are coming up. Because they do so much in the community, we're renaming our updates for community events to the Bozard Ford Community Update. And the Bozard Ford Lincoln update today is on October 6th, 4 to 6 p.m. Kathy Brown will have her celebration of life in honor of Kathy Brown and all that she did for the Council on Aging. And it'll be at the River House, literally the house that Kathy built. So October the 6th, 4 to 6 p.m. And October the 8th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Elks Lodge on the island is the Veterans Stand Down, which Bill Dudley came in and told us about yesterday. If you didn't watch that show, go back and watch that show. Bill did an amazing job. An absolute phenomenal resource for our community. And now I get to introduce our guest. A man who spends most of his days higher than the state of Colorado. Tim O'Neill of New View Window Cleaning. Pull that microphone next to you, rookie. How's that? Higher than the state of Colorado.
Wasn't it legal first in California?
It doesn't matter. You're up on top of buildings all the time.
This is true.
I wake up and I see all these pictures of you and your kids.
They're grown
dangling,
men. They're
dangling.
Grown men now.
I know they're still kids to me. I know they're in their 20s, but as I get older, everyone's a kid. But you guys are dangling off buildings, cleaning windows. The sun's coming up.
Yeah.
You're doing great video work and marketing. And they're like, hey, Dad, I need some more of this or I need some more of that.
Well, I don't know if you're aware of this, Mike. I'm actually side by side with them.
Okay.
So I'm rappelling with them also.
All right.
You just, all you see is my feet or my legs or whatever.
I try not to look at this.
Yeah, don't go there.
Honestly, I try to just focus on the sunset, all the other guys. No, I'm trying to stay out of that. So, what is the tallest building you guys have worked on?
The second tallest building in the state of Florida. Or actually, you know what? We did the tallest one down in Miami.
Okay.
AmSouth building in Miami. That was 15, 18 years ago.
How tall is it? It's too tall, Mike.
It's over six. At the time, it was the tallest. I mean, there's probably another one that's been built down there. It was like 680 or 660, I think.
Does it sway at the top?
No, but you can. When it's windy, you can definitely feel your butt cheeks pucker.
Well, that's the we worked on the towers both for the city of St. Augustine, right? Did cast stone work there, and then also did repairs at Flagler College. And people don't realize if you're standing down on the ground and it doesn't feel like there's a lot of wind.
Oh, there's wind.
When you go up 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 feet, all of a sudden there's wind. 600 feet is an entirely different ozone level.
We basically, in the morning, if I feel a zephyr at 6 to 8 miles an hour, I know up there it's going to be 12 to 15. It doubles basically about every 300 feet.
Yeah. A lot of fun. And you guys also cleaned the stadium for FSU.
At one time, I was doing all the NFL stadiums in the state of Florida.
Okay.
But I've kind of narrowed it down to just FSU, Dope Campbell now.
And you go over there for a week with a crew.
This last time we went for 4 days. Three days.
And you were making them work hard then.
We worked an average of 10, 11 hours a day. And then it was one day. We did put about 14 hours in over there.
Okay.
So yeah, that was that's a great contract, by the way.
Well, and the nice thing is, this year, although the windows are clean like every other year, there's something worth watching.
Yes, sir.
Florida State has a program this year worth watching.
It was kind of funny because I was talking to the AD 2 years ago, and he said, hey, O'Neill, ever since we've had you on, we've lost our first game.
it's not my fault.
To Alabama. You know, and or the whatever that kickoff classic, and I said, well, that has nothing to do with your real clean window.
We're still hungover from that game. If you want to know the truth, when teams schedule Alabama first up, I'm like, don't do it.
Yeah,
don't do it. It could ruin your entire season. It could ruin multiple seasons. Don't do it.
This is true. I mean, and you know, the great thing about FSU this year is they lost their quarterback, and they got a guy that stepped right in there.
Yeah.
So
that was a game. I went to bed. Right, okay. I've just at my age, it's like, look, if you guys want to play these games late at night, that's fine. I'm going to bed. I'll record it. I'll watch in the morning. So I'm going through my news feeds. I'm doing everything I can to avoid a sports feed.
Right.
And I'm on a 100% news site. It's a political site, and I'm scrolling through the headlines. Florida State backup quarterback leads him to win. I'm like, well, I guess I can watch it now without the suspense. And then when I watched the first 15 minutes, I'm like, I don't know if I'd have watched the rest of it. It was the first part of the second half was a little brutal, but yeah, he did great.
Yeah, it was, and you know, the other thing they have right now, the last couple times we've been able to watch them go through their drills and stuff, just I would work with the AD, or he'd show me something he once done. And I was like, God, your offensive line looks so puny. You know, this is 3, 4, 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And they're like, what? No, I don't know. I mean, I'm not impressed.
Yes.
But I saw them this year and a little bit last year, and they they look a whole lot bigger.
When you say that, are you wearing your University of Miami shirt? No. You're wearing FSU shirt? Are you wearing a New View? Okay. Neutral shirt.
Neutral
colors. Wise move, young man.
Yes, yeah.
You're in FSU's eyes, you're only a Miami fan one day a year.
This is true.
Just one day.
You know, my brother played football at Florida State.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, 81, 82, and part of 83 when he got hurt. Yeah, he played, he was a defensive back.
So is he younger than you?
He's older
than you. Yeah. Okay.
He's 10, we're Irish twins.
Okay,
Months older.
Irish twin story, but I was told to behave myself, so I'm not going to say it today.
I'm keeping it clean, Michael.
I'm trying to.
I'll tell Darcy.
All I know is we were with friends and they were talking about a wives' tale and we all went, that's not true. And their kids were born 10 months apart.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, yeah, that's not true. That's definitely not true. No, that's, you can't believe that. We're like, well, we know that now.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you could have asked any one of us. Any one of us you could have asked.
This is true.
So, but that's a fun contract for you guys. You get to go over late in the summer, right?
Yeah, we go over usually right after parents' weekend, after everybody shows up, brings the kids in, unless they have an early game. Like one year they were the first game. I think they were the first game again this year, weren't they?
We got lucky, got an early game this year.
They didn't play at the stadium. Did they play at the stadium?
Oh, no, that was Duquesne. We played in
New Orleans
against LSU. Victor Saris, our very good friend that we surf with all the time, huge LSU fan.
And that.
I've undersold it, right? I've undersold. When I say huge, he's a huge LSU fan. Again, undersold. But
how does the orange man say huge?
Huge. Huge. Huge.
Yeah, thanks, Amanda.
Huge. So when they scored, I immediately text them. Right? I hope you guys don't miss the PAT.
Yeah.
And of course, he doesn't see the text for 24 hours.
Right.
Because he's got all his family and friends over watching the game.
Was it blocked or he just missed it?
Blocked it.
That's right. They blocked two of them, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to think Florida State has two close games, right?
Yeah.
That we finally. We could be 1-2.
Yeah.
And no telling if we lose the first one close, what happens in the second one?
Right.
We've seen how that happens last year.
And they can lay an egg this week with Boston College.
I don't think so.
Or no, I love the confidence.
I honestly because I really think this team is figuring out how to win.
Uh-huh.
If you look at those two close wins, and if I'm a player in that locker room or I'm a coach, you've got nothing.
Just not to interrupt you, but Norvell, I really like him a lot. Mm-hmm. Met him, I like him a lot.
They got nothing to hang their hat on. You can't go look at what we've done in the past and we can rest on our laurels. That closet in Florida State where the laurels are is empty.
Yeah.
There's nothing. So you have to go out there and earn this one, and hopefully they know that.
You know, it's kind of funny. When we go over and then we do the stadium, we also do, there's a coach's offices, and it's called the Moore Athletic Center.
Yeah.
It's another building that's attached to the stadium.
Which is how they got funding to expand the stadium. Listen, people at Florida State aren't stupid.
They have got dough.
I have a lot of Gator fans that are very upset.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, if you're not smart enough to put classrooms around your thing so you can get the money for, I can't help you, right?
Yeah. But anyway, so we do that.
Still a giant erector set inside.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yes.
But so we're in there. We're doing the coach's offices. I bump into Norvell and all that. Other stuff, but anyways, so we also get to go. They have this big room where you can see that they bring in all the recruits, and it's just huge, enormous room. It's got all the trophies, Heisman trophies, Jim Thorpe trophy, and in the middle of the room they have this room or this like a kiosk or a case like you'd see jewelry in, and all the rings, you know, lined up. And I always pop my head over there every year, take a peek at it. Well, I go there, you say resting on their laurels. Yeah. I go there and I'm walking over there, I'm looking at the case and it's just all white. I walk over there, I'm like, what's this all about? And every single one of the rings, all the national championship rings, all the ACC rings, all the rings are gone. And so I'm the only one in there because we had already, all my guys got ushered through.
So for the police, Tim was the last one to see all the rings in there. Just saying.
And I turned to the, they have a security that walks with you through there. And
you, it's two guards.
Yeah, yes, definitely two. And one front and one back. Too.
Yes.
And I turned to the girl that's escorting us through there, and I said, what happened? He said, oh, no, we're redoing the case. We're at, what rings did you guys win last year? And I chuckled and laughed, and she said, no, we're just redoing the whole thing with the presentation and stuff. And I said, okay, great. So you might could add one this year.
We might get to add some. Listen, I'm just happy we're competitive.
Yeah. Well, it's impressive how many rings over the 35 or 40 years that they've been.
You got to remember, what was it, 40 years or something going to a bowl game, right? Oh, yeah. No, I mean, I don't know if anybody touches that record again. It's an unbelievable
record.
Pretty
impressive. Yeah. When it was something to go to a bowl game, when they had the Pool and Weed Eater Bowl.
Yes, I remember watching that.
Yeah.
In Shreveport, Louisiana. You know how hard it is to get a game in Shreveport, Louisiana in January?
22,000 people showed up.
Yeah, but the weather could have been sleet and ice and 12 degrees, and that was at noon.
No
kickoff
doubt.
Was at 8. They had one cameraman who wasn't frozen to death trying to film the entire game.
Yeah, I think when my brother, the bowl game, he got to go, because he didn't dress out every single, he wasn't like an everyday player. Yeah. He was made the team, walk on, that type of thing. But the bowl game he got to go to was the Peach Bowl in Atlanta, Georgia. I don't know if they still have it.
They do still have a Peach Bowl in Atlanta, Georgia.
The Chick-fil-A?
It's a Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl. Yeah. Everything in Atlanta is a Mercedes-Benz or Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, but it was just the Peach Bowl. There was no corporate sponsor added to it.
Well, that was the year that Florida State played Oklahoma State in the Gator Bowl. I think it was 86.
Mm-hmm.
We got tickets and went up, and oh my gosh, what a great game. And that was when the Gator Bowl was the old metal seats. Yep. No Jags, no thought of the Jaguars coming into existence. It was so cold. You were just happy to be standing. Bulls. You were just happy to be standing, because when you had to sit down on the seats, it was like, freezing. Oh, this is cold. This is really, really cold. And Florida State played great in the second half. Such a fun game to watch. So, yeah. So how long have you had New View Window Cleaning?
Since 1981.
Like the oldest window cleaning place in St. Johns County?
No. I can't think of the gentleman's name right now, so I'm offhand. But there's a gentleman that has been cleaning windows on St. George Street exclusively.
Mm-hmm.
His name, it just escapes me. Frank, I want to say Frank, but I could be wrong, or Fred or something. But he's been cleaning windows on, and to this day, he's still out there once in a while. I think someone's kind of taken it over for him. But he's been around since the early 60s.
It's kind of a good gig.
It is a good gig. I mean, I'm not going to tell anybody. It's really tough.
There's nothing high on St. George Street.
Nope. It's all hand reach.
Yeah.
It's all maybe a stick.
So he's not a short guy. He's not like Troy. Because nothing is hand reach for Troy.
His shoelaces.
So true. It's okay.
I know he's not watching, right?
Well, yesterday we got a meme of a pedestal that you put in your car, and it attaches to the foot pedal. So if you're really short, you can reach the foot pedals. And it went out in our group meme, and Troy's a part of it. And I texted him, I said, yeah, but Troy has the lifted version. There's another lift under it. So, yes. No, we're good with that. You just went on a surf trip. Christian Surfers.
Yeah, we went. It was like a surf and serve type thing. It was really, really... I'm not that I'm a loss for words too often, but it was a really incredible trip. Spent 8 days in El Salvador in August, and it was, we've all been to third world countries surfing, but when, you know, sometimes you're in a nice neighborhood and sometimes you're not, but we were, you know, I mean, to see how people live everyday life, and they're thankful for what they've got.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very moving. It was very moving for myself and 8 other guys from St. Augustine.
So usually on those trips, I'm imagining, because it's Christian Surfers, you're a little bit of ministry either in the morning or the evenings. You're doing a little bit of surfing, probably the opposite.
Wake up in the morning and go surfing at 5:45.
Mm-hmm.
So we're surfing early in the morning.
Yep.
Come back to where we're staying and a hearty breakfast. And then we go out and... the gentleman, the guy that ran it, Flaglergrad, Jacob, I can't pronounce his last name, Goral.
Yeah, anyways, that's close. Jacob.
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 Anyways, Jacob.
From Flagler College.
Yes. He.
Everyone knows Jacob from Flagler
College. Everybody at Christian Surfers knows Jacob.
Yes, they do.
But anyways, Jacob.
Somewhere he's screaming, you forgot my name.
I can't pronounce. My pronunciation is not no bueno.
Listen, I speak Southern.
Right.
I struggle at that. Right. I'm not even close to English. So if you want me to pronounce something, good luck.
Exactly.
Bobby listens all the time. I don't even say his last name anymore.
Yeah.
I've tried 17 different pronunciations, and everyone I'm told is wrong.
But anyways, Jacob had it all set up, and pretty much we surfed every single morning.
Yes.
And then we would go out in the community and do anything from homeless advocacy, helping out the homeless, to installing water filters. You know, think about it. When you don't have any running water,
yeah,
you're catching your water from a cistern. You don't have indoor plumbing. And that was, I don't know, have you ever been to El Salvador before?
I've been to Costa Rica lots of times. So a lot of what you're describing, right, is very similar to rural areas. And we stay in a very rural area in Costa Rica. We've been going there for 11 years now, at least once a year, sometimes twice a year. So we've gotten to know a lot of the locals. The amazing thing for me the first time down was looking at the electrical services.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Going into the houses, right? I mean, down here, there's a whole tag and a lock and a system, and you got inspections and FPNL. There, it's wires wired together. They have a rainy season that lasts 6 months a year. I have no idea when the water hits those wires what happens.
It's arcing across and shutting down.
Yeah, it's amazing. Very few of the houses have AC. So if you're staying in a place that has AC, you have a lot of appreciation for the fact that there's air conditioning. Because they're right there on the equator, the sun comes up and goes down every day at the same time.
Yep.
There's no seasonal change other than the rain.
Yep.
And it's the same temperature every day.
Yep.
So there's a lot of consistency. But it's a very interesting place to be. The people are as nice as they can be.
Yeah, the people are beautiful.
I mean, I can't tell you, we've had flat tires down there. Had to go find a guy to change a flat tire in a very rural area, right, that could fix it. We've had engine trouble. You pull into a gas station. We don't speak a lick of
Espanol.
Spanish. I mean, none of us. And everybody's always as nice as they can be. One of our good friends who we've talked to, and we go down there quite a bit, we pulled into the town one night after surfing, and I knew we had a flat tire, and I was just trying to get somewhere to change it. We stopped before Sal and I could get out of the car. The trunk was open, and Harry had pulled the spare and the tire iron, and before I could get both flip-flops on the ground, the car is going up.
Yeah, yeah.
I see you have a flat tire, my friend. I'll fix it for you.
Yeah.
10 minutes, we're done, right? And he's done the whole, like, can we pay? No, you're my friend.
Yeah, yeah.
We love having you here. Yeah, thanks. And I mean, there's just so many people that are so friendly when you sit and talk to them.
Oh, and that was the thing. We had a family that kind of took what they were kind of like our minders, Eduardo and Renata. And Eduardo cooked for us every single morning. Mm-hmm. His English was way better than my Spanish.
Yep.
His wife, Renata, had amazing English. Her English was the Queen's English.
Mm-hmm.
And both very well educated. That was a thing. In Costa Rica, they've gotten rid of their military. And they focused, in the 50s, they got rid of their military, and they focused all their money on education.
Mm-hmm.
And so pretty much, if you're in a decent area in Costa Rica, you know English.
Yeah.
And you're pretty well educated. And if you have any aptitude for any of the sciences, or if you want to go into medicine, they'll pretty much put you through it or whatever. In El Salvador, a little bit more, not as well off with their resources. So maybe 25% of the people finished like 6th or 7th grade, and maybe 10 or 12% of the people, maybe 20% speak English fluently.
Yeah.
And it's eye opening, and it was pretty cool because I remember I told you that was telling the story about the little kid that helped me out at Punta Roca.
Wait, okay, so you got to tell the whole story. You can't just tell part of the story.
Okay.
So you go surfing at a spot that...
It's a world-class right-hand point break.
It's a point break. But the picture you showed me with you and the little kid after he rescued you.
Yeah. And he's 10 years old.
Yeah. After a 10-year-old rescued you.
Yeah.
He's half your height.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. So it's like 30 feet down to the wave.
Right.
I can see a 5 or 6 foot wave crashing on the rocks.
Right.
I'm asking you, why did you go surfing there?
Yeah.
Your response was, well, getting out was easy.
No, getting in was easy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Getting in the water.
I meant getting out to go surfing.
We're speaking the same language.
Yeah, we are.
We're just in different versions. Yeah, yeah. I'm in forward and you're
that's
in reverse.
The guy right there.
Yeah, I'm in forward and you're in reverse. Yes. Okay.
So anyways, we're standing on a cliff right there.
Yeah.
So you can't really see how big the waves are, but those rocks are boulders down there. So we're surfing. Punta Roca is where they had the WSL this past year, the first time they went to, and so their world-class break.
Yes.
And we go there, and it's shoulder to head high and perfect, and there's no one in the water surfing, and we were like, hey, why is anybody surfing here? Like, oh, they don't think it's good. I'm like, they don't think shoulder to head high is good.
No, they don't. They're like Hawaiians.
Yeah, exactly.
They're 100%. So when we go on surf trips, I start 2 weeks out looking at what the waves are going to be. And I don't, so the week before, you don't get to know what the waves are going to be like. You're weak.
Right.
Because I'm too cheap to pay for the long version. I don't pay for the 30-day forecast. Yeah. I just want to be surprised.
Right.
But
6-day. I'm on the same program.
The same program. That's the free one. I'll do that one, right?
I'll take the ads.
I'll take the ads. I'm good to go. So I always look, and I want them to have really good surf before we get there.
And they're tired out.
And they're tired out, right? And then they look at a day that for you and I is epic, right. And they're like, ah,
my God. Yeah, exactly.
It's like Hawaiians, right? They get enough great surf, like, yeah, we're not going out. But there's times we go down there and there hadn't been waves in a month.
And then it's this big and there's 20 people.
There's 20. They're all starved like we are. And you're like, okay, surfing's the same everywhere, right?
Exactly.
So you go out on a day that's locals are like, that's not a good day.
Exactly.
Probably had an amazing time.
We did. Mm-hmm. We did. We had an incredible session. And then the wind got on it. So it was time to get out. It wasn't great. And so the Puna Roca's like, it's a point break.
Mm-hmm.
And so you paddle over to the point break and there's like a keyhole to get in and out of the water. And it's right in front of this little bodega where it's that little guy's grandson was the one that got me out of the water. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's out there surfing, you know, just on the inside part. So anyways, I get up and, you know, it's 4 to 5 foot and here's a set coming and and I'm trying to not destroy the board that I've got because it's the only board I've got there.
And you're stand up paddleboarding.
So my board's twice the size.
Yeah.
And it's cumbersome.
You guys see this smile? This is the smile of a surfer who's had watching a deal with stand-up paddleboarders. I've been run over twice.
Not by me.
You have not. You've always been really good about that. You run over other surfers.
I run over all the Flagler College kids.
Except for Jacob.
This is true, except for Jacob.
So the thought of you manhandling that board with all those rocks and the waves breaking.
Now you understand why I couldn't get out of the water.
I'm laughing. Okay. All right, got it.
So anyways, so I'm trying to time it. I'm looking, and there's a lull between the sets, so I start moving into shallower water, and I get off, and I'm starting to walk, and all of a sudden, I look, and there's a set coming. So I push back, and I get back and wave breaks, and I'm like, all right, there's nothing coming. I step, and I'm in about, I don't know, thigh-high water, and I step in between two rocks, and my foot's stuck. And I'm like, oh, no. And I'm like, okay, all right, I'll get out of this any second now.
Can you hear the train whistle coming, right?
Here's the thing. The rocks are so big when the big swells are coming. If you're underwater, you can hear those rocks move.
Yes.
It's pretty impressive. So anyways, my foot...
How many times were you... Well, you'll get to the number of times you're underwater. Go ahead.
Yeah. So anyways, my foot stuck and I'm not moving.
Yeah.
And here comes a set with three or four waves in it that are shoulder to head high.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm in waist deep water.
And you're screwed.
And I'm SOL.
Yes.
So the only thing I can do is just push my board away, hold on to the paddle, and starfish backwards. And then just get pummeled for four waves on the head. And so anyways, a little amigo comes out. What was his name? Gustav. Mm-hmm. I think was it Gus. He says, amigo. And he can't be 60 pounds. The board's four times the size. The board weighs as much as he does.
Yeah.
So he's like, a key, which means here. A key. And so give me the board. And I'm like, he's not getting this board out. It's going to be destroyed. Here comes another set.
At this point, you don't have a lot of options.
He's my only option.
Yeah, so options are a key.
Yeah.
That's you're going
that
there.
That was it.
Yes. So
finally, I relent and I give it to him and I release my foot. And, and he's already out of the water. He's like, boom, 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 out of the water. And I get pummeled one more time and I come up. And so anyways, I get out of the water and he's up there. And I might have like $6 on me. And I wanted a beer really bad
after getting pummeled. Yes. Yeah.
So I went over to his grandfather and I said, "Uno cerveza, por favor." Mm-hmm. And then I said, "Cuánto?" And he said, $5. I said, "Tres?" And he said, "No, cinco." So anyways, I had a dollar to give the kid.
Yes.
And that's why I said, "How about a Coke and cerveza?"
Yeah.
And he goes, "Sí." So they gave me a Coke, and I gave the Coke to the kid.
Okay.
So anyways, one of the other, the cameraman, who which I'm glad he didn't film. I wish he would have filmed it.
Oh, I do too. I'd have paid.
But
it would be running nonstop on my show.
Johnny did not film it.
Oh, I would have had that. Yes.
But anyways, I said, hey, Johnny, you got $5 on you or something like that. He goes, yeah, he gave me $5. So I want to give it to the kid.
Yeah.
And you would have think he just won the lotto.
Yeah.
I mean, when he got $5. And that's the other thing. I don't know if you're aware of this in El Salvador. They're the first country that takes Bitcoin.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Do they take Dogecoin? Because I think Pete has Dogecoin still, and he could go on vacation now.
I don't know. Anyways, there's actually a beach called Bitcoin Beach in El Salvador, which is kind of cool. But it's U.S. currency, just like Panama.
Yes.
They don't have a currency.
Yeah.
They do not have a dollar. They've got our dollar.
So we were in Nicaragua last summer.
Mm-hmm.
They had been shut down during the pandemic.
Right.
It just kind of opened back up a little bit to let surfers back in. And
they wanted those dead presidents.
The staff that was there was so grateful because some of them hadn't worked in a year.
Wow.
And you know, they're all that area where we went is a tourism area. It's a surf area. It's all based around
Playa del Colorado.
Yes.
Yeah.
We were right there. And the staff was so amazing and so great. They took care of everything. We had a young lady that cooked two meals a day for us. We got to really know her well. I mean, we're actually asking her to sit down and have dinner with us, right? I mean, and you know, she was just so happy to be there. And we were so happy to have her, right? Because we didn't have to cook. We didn't have to worry about any of that stuff. We could just enjoy the trip. And so it worked out great for everybody. But I mean, yeah, she's just as nice as she can.
Oh, yeah.
Just sweet. But so my story about almost getting smashed, it wasn't really on rocks.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when 16th Street, before they did all the beach renourishment, if you go walk to the end of the 16th now, there's a handrail that goes nowhere.
Oh, yeah.
That
and three steps.
And three steps.
Yeah, or two or three steps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those steps go down 10 or 12 feet.
Oh.
Right? I mean, it goes all the way down to the level of the sand before any beach renourishment.
Right.
So you used to not be able to surf there at high tide unless you could navigate getting in and out of those stairs. So you run down the stairs, try to time it so you jump off the stairs and there wasn't waves coming and pushing you back into the stairs or the rocks. So that was
the backwash going out.
The backwash, you had to catch that. Now, then coming in, you had to navigate that the opposite way, where you had to get on the stairs, be able to run up the stairs high enough that the next wave coming in didn't pin you on the stairs. So I'm surfing with Mark Bailey one night, and we're trying to get out. He successfully navigates that because he does it all the time.
Well, it's his backyard.
It's his backyard, right? I mean, I think he did it blindfolded, too, just to rub it in. And I turned around, and I look back, and I can hear the wave coming. I can see the water sucking down the stairs.
Right.
I know there's a big wave getting to pin me. So I hand him my board and then get pinned to the stairs as this next wave comes through, right? Then I push up, grab the board. I'm like, oh, man. I mean, I just felt really lucky that the board didn't go. The other one.
How'd you get out of the water?
Well, I was on the stairs.
Oh. Okay.
So I just walked up the stairs after the next wave receded. Oh, okay. I was like, okay, I just walk up the stairs. But the other one, you surfed Marbella before.
Uh-huh.
There's a big rock in the middle of that break. And we were surfing it a couple years ago. And I caught the first of what I thought was a four wave set.
Big mistake.
Well, I thought it was a four, and I had a nice ride, and I rode towards the rock, but I was still 40 yards from the rock.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't a four-wave set. It was like a 12-wave set, right? So I'm just duck diving and paddling, right? No
getting
problem.
Closer and pushed closer to that rock.
I have no idea that I'm getting pushed closer to the rock, right? So I pop up after one of them, and I go to start paddling, and it's like, well, that's
dry reef.
That's really hard right there. And I'm like, am I on top of a turtle? And then I realize I'm on the rock. And I'm like, darn it. So I'm on my hands and knees. The board's underneath me. The water's flowing off the rock. I'm trying to fish the board out from under me so it doesn't get dinged.
Mm-hmm.
Right? My buddy Sal is surfing towards me, just laughing.
Mm-hmm,
And I have to wait for his wave to come across the rock, throw the board off, hop off the board. Yeah, it's like, oh, my gosh. And, I mean, we laughed about that for the rest of the trip. I'm like, of all the places to end up, to get washed up on top of that rock.
That rock, oh yeah.
And it's and when I went to paddle away from it, it's like it had some magic
suction
spell.
Yeah,
it was like, no, you're coming right back here, buddy. We're going for round two. I'm like, no, I'm on round two.
And no matter how you paddle or strong, you're not fighting against
that. Yeah, no. I was just like, it was this vortex taking me. I got away from it. I didn't make it, but I was like, gosh darn. So, yeah, it was not good. Not good. Amanda?
I don't have any smash stories that I'm willing to tell on the air. Because mine are not surfing and they're all alcohol related.
How about driving?
Your kids watch the show. Don't tell any of those.
But I wasn't drinking. I was just careless with my very large blind spot.
Large blind spot?
Yeah.
Louis was in the way?
No.
I'm just kidding.
My first accident.
She's blind in love with her husband.
Of course.
That's a beautiful thing.
I'm just saying. He's a blind spot.
My first accident was when my grandparents were watching us, and I had a Chrysler LeBaron that had a very large blind spot, and I was coming back from swim practice, and I was double-checking my blind spot because it's so big, and in the process, the person in front of me slowed down, and I ended up rear-ending them, and then I had to explain myself to my very ill-humored grandfather for having to come out. And they did not appreciate my accident, nor did they appreciate my tank top and flip-flops for school. Everything was appalling, and it was such a scandal.
Did you get invited to Thanksgiving dinner that year?
They never invited us for Thanksgiving.
Okay, all right. Well,
did it have rich Corinthian leather?
No, it was gray.
You remember those commercials?
Oh, I remember
gray fabric, and it died when I was on a date once. And ooh, that was a military guy, so he almost ended up AWOL because my Chrysler LeBaron died.
So you kidnapped a military guy. Let's get this straight.
It was on accident.
You know,
kidnapped him.
Kidnapped him. Held him ransom inside her car. Yes.
I had to call a friend who lived close by, like completely out of the blue, from the phone in the barn. We were at a stable. And I had to call my friend.
I don't want to go there.
Her dad. No,
this story just gets worse for her as she tells it.
My friend had a horse, and so I was introducing my date to my friend's horse, and we get stuck with my car dying. So then I have to call my friend's dad to come drive my date back to base.
And farm
so
animals.
I can stay with the car, and he doesn't end up AWOL. It was a very embarrassing date.
Did you have a second date?
I did.
Okay.
Well, there you go.
There you go. Wasn't that bad then.
So, because guys don't care what kind of curl it car a girl has,
but girls care what kind of cars guys have.
Yeah,
we really don't care.
Yeah,
I mean the only thing that he went back for the second date is he had fun on the first date.
Right.
I mean it might have been crazy and all stuff, but he had a story to tell. It was fun. You probably weren't crying. You probably weren't yelling and screaming. So you're like, okay,
she's sane.
We can do this again.
He found it very sweet that I was concerned about him being AWOL and that I was creative in getting him back to the base because mm-hmm. that was the closest person I could call to get him there.
And you didn't have a cell phone. This is pre-cell phone.
No, this is pre-cell phones. Yeah. That's why we had to use the barn phone.
I loved back then when your mom would tell you, why didn't you call? You knew you were going to be late. Where did you want me to stop? At the 7-Eleven at 11 o'clock at night?
And be later?
And be even later to call and tell you?
See, I was in the transition period.
It never worked. I never really said that, but I always thought it.
I was in the transition period when people were just starting to get cell phones when I was a teenager. And so in that transition period, people had beepers. Pagers.
Yeah.
So
only the drug dealers had beepers at my school.
No, eventually there was only one group of people that had beepers.
I'm a little bit younger, and so I was in the age where you got your first job and you got a pager because it was cool to have a pager. Yeah. I did it for about 6 months, but I realized it got me in more trouble because when my mom would page me and I couldn't get back to her
right away, 911?
Then she would get even more mad. So I just stopped paying for the pager, and it got me out of trouble.
Did the pager when it read would it read out 911?
No, she didn't know how to do, like, she wasn't hip with the codes or anything. So there's like the 143 that you could do for I love you and all that stuff. But she would just page me her number and then be mad if I didn't call back in 5 minutes.
Oh no! So you had a pager? Did you have a pager?
Of course.
I didn't want a pager.
I had to have one because in South Florida when I started my business.
Yes.
He had to have one because he's University of Miami, so he had to use it for extracurricular activities.
No.
What business do you speak of when you say you had a pager?
A legitimate business, I'll have you know.
I go back to my intro of you.
Well, no, I had a pager, and then they came out with, which was pretty cool, and I didn't know how to handle it. I didn't know how to work it, but one of my guys did. It actually could give you script.
Yes.
Messages. Mm-hmm. Call Mrs. Johnson at 904. Mm-hmm. And then you had the name and then, or even an address, I think would come through on that thing.
Yeah.
So that was my first dealing with texting.
Well.
And then I got a cell phone.
I didn't want a pager. I had no desire to have a pager. I had a phone, right, which was the brick phone, mm-hmm. which was perfect for self-defense. Yeah. It was great for microwaves emitting through my brain, right? It weighed you down. It was an extra workout when you were walking across town with this thing on your belt, right?
Did it ever go on your belt?
Yeah.
I just tried to put it in my back pocket, and then it looked like a walkie-talkie that had gotten... Yeah.
You looked like one of G.I. Joe's guys who was lost in downtown. Yep. Yes.
Yep. Well, that's what I was going to say. You could do reenactments of, like, Vietnam with those big, giant phones.
Yes.
Act like you're calling in some napalm or something.
100%.
An airstrike.
Yes. Yeah. So my,
death from above.
My dad had a pager, right? And so he's like, you need a pager. I'm like, I don't need a pager. No, you need a pager. I don't want a pager. Well, if I want to get in touch with you, call me on the phone. Well, I can't get you sometimes on the phone. Yeah, I'm in a meeting. I'm talking to people selling stuff or going through job specifics. I can't answer your call. Nope, you got to have a pager. So I get the pager, right? In the entire time that I had the pager, which was maybe 6 months or a year, there was only one person who ever paged me.
As your dad.
Was my dad, right? And he quit paging me his number 1 month into the 12-month paging. And it was always his number followed by 911.
That's where I would get 911s.
I'm like, I'm trying to sell a job. Like, excuse me, I have to go make this phone call.
911.
Hey, Dad, are you alive? Yeah, what do you want for lunch today?
Yeah.
I want to close this deal. I don't want to get paged. I don't want to get paged for lunch.
I can so totally see
that. We talked this morning. I told you exactly where I'd be today. It's like, no. And so finally, when I'd had enough one day, I just walked in and put it on the desk, and I'm like, no.
Right.
Take it back in, save the money. I will never wear it again. I'm not doing this. No.
Yep.
No more. No mas. I'm done.
Yeah, the death of the pager for me was I was working with a friend on a photo project, and my mom knew I was going to be in the woods doing a photo project, and it ended up taking longer than we expected it to, so I ended up getting like 14 pages. I didn't have my phone on or my pager on me because I was doing a photo project in the woods. It was in the car. So I didn't even realize she was paging me. And so I finally get to the car when we're finished, and she's furious. She's thinking I'm dead somewhere. And I'm like, I told you I was in the woods. You don't have a cell phone for me. I can't afford a cell phone. I can only afford a pager. My friend doesn't have a cell phone. Like, there's no way for me to call you back when I'm in the woods where I told you I would be. And I killed my pager after that. No more.
No mas.
Did you Hillary Clinton it?
No, because
Bleach bit and a hammer?
No, if you returned it, then you got a credit. It's kind of like drinking in Europe. When you get back the glasses, you get your credit. So I took it back and got a credit.
I didn't know that about drinking in Europe because I've never been drinking in Europe that way.
Mm. You've been drinking, though.
Yeah, but not in Europe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no. Lots of places, but not there.
It's a brilliant ploy. You don't need busboys in bars in Europe because if you get like a Frank back if you're in Germany for the glass or whatever. You get a glass.
It's like shopping at Aldi. Have you ever been to Aldi?
You can either keep the glass and it's just your souvenir and it costs you basically a buck, or you take it back to the bar yourself, negating the need for a busboy, and then you get your Frank back.
Have you heard the new Walmart discount plan?
No.
If you show up at 7 a.m. and help unload the semi-trucks, they give you an extra discount, so then you can unload it, walk inside, pick the stuff up, and then go check yourself out.
I would do that.
Full service the whole way. You unload, pick up, check yourself out. It's awesome. But it's coming. You think I'm joking. That's the next thing they're going to do to us.
Wow.
You have to unload the store before you can shop in the store.
I would earn my groceries. I've got 3 kids to feed.
You do. When Tim was talking about third world country, I said, you should see Amanda's house.
You should.
They can't keep food there. It looks like locusts have been there every day.
True story.
Like, there's no food. And then if there's anything left over, Louie whips it up into a 5-star dish.
Yes.
There can be 6 crumbs and a pea, and Louie will whip that up into something that's amazing.
It's called
a mousse bouche. Do it all. My question to you guys, when's the last time you've been somewhere without your cell phone? You either had no service or you had no cell phone.
El Salvador.
Mm-hmm.
A couple weeks ago.
Yeah. Was it unnerving?
No.
Was it relaxing and relieving? You feel like, oh my gosh, this is the greatest thing ever.
I mean, it wasn't the greatest thing ever, but it was, you know, it's not like I was, if someone called me, and I mean, if I got bad news from one of my guys or Kelly calling me and say, hey, you know, boom, I wouldn't want to hear it anyways when I was in El Salvador.
Did you get back home and you get to Miami and all of a sudden it lights up with like 40 voicemails?
You know, when I got to the airport, I had service. I paid for the extended service that I could get. Yeah. But the service was spotty in El Salvador. We had Wi-Fi in the place we were staying, but there one day it poured down rain, and I don't know what they had over top of their panel, but we lost power to everything. Yeah. The only thing we had power for was the refrigerator.
Yes.
For some reason, it was on a different circuit, or maybe an outdoor, who knows how it was wired. But we lost everything, and we didn't have air conditioning. We didn't have anything, and that was a miserable 4 or 5 hours. And then for them to redeploy the Wi-Fi, I can't imagine what that thing looked like. You know, but they got it up and going. They had a guy come over and fix it, and like you said, everybody over there is super nice. I mean, hey, how's it going, waving the whole nine yards. And what I thought was pretty cool was you would go down, like, I don't know, I've never seen it in Costa Rica or Nicaragua, but in El Salvador they have what they call the chicken boxes, and it's like a bus, and I mean to tell you, inside the bus there's 35 to 50 people. On the outside of the bus, there's another 15 or 20 people hanging on. And our driver, Eduardo, said, that's what we call a chicken box.
Yeah.
And I said, well, in Espanol, and he goes, chicken box. I was thinking, pollo.
Pollo box.
Pollo, I don't even know what box is that. ¿Cómo se dice box in Espanol? But he was like, no, chicken box.
No. What about you, Amanda? Last time you didn't have your cell phone.
When we were in the wedding in Mexico. So where we were staying at the ministry site, we had Wi-Fi, but we only had Wi-Fi connection in a single room on the property. So unless we were in that room, we had nothing on our phones. And it was a little unnerving because we had a large group that we were trying to, you know, negotiate the logistics for around the city. And so not being able to be in communication, you don't know who's picking you up and where. That can be a little stressful. But before that, it was August 2021. We went...
What time was it? What time of day? 11 a.m., 12 a.m.?
August 2021, I went to Arizona, and where we stayed in Sedona had no Wi-Fi, no data, no nothing. We could do nothing on our phones where we were staying in Sedona.
Okay, you're in the United States?
So, in the United States.
In Sedona, Arizona.
Which is a very wealthy place to hang out, but I don't know if it's just because there's so much iron in the rocks, or I don't know what the problem was, but there was no cell service.
Like, I find that, wow, that's...
Legitimately, that was the only ding on the reviews my dad admitted later, was that there's just no internet. There wasn't even cable for the majority of the time we were staying there.
Okay, I'm gonna.
I kind of like this place. I need to know where it is.
Well, I don't give you the name.
You know, the 8 days we were in El Salvador, we had TV sets in like three of the rooms. We never turned a TV set on. When I'm in Costa Rica, I never turned the TV set on.
I'm gonna tell you, there's one guy on the trip that always has to watch the news.
Yeah.
Right, and he's like, find Fox News for me. And I'll find it. And he's like, where are you going? I'm going to the other room to read. I don't want to watch any of this crap. I'm on vacation.
Exactly.
I have to do news the entire time I'm doing the shows. I got to keep up with all this stuff. I said, I don't have to keep up with anything.
Yeah.
I'm going to go read. And when I'm done with that book, I'm going to start another book. But I'm not going to sit out here and watch people bitching about stuff that I don't care. I'm going to go surfing tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
I got the greatest. I'm happy.
Exactly.
I'm happy. Now, it's for me, some of the trips I've been on, same as you guys, no phone.
Right.
Which I think is awesome, right? The phone service in Costa Rica gets better and better every time we go down there, and it's easier to make phone calls, and it's funny where I've been, but we had all four kids. We went to North Carolina. It had to be 2004 or five, right? So you had phones. They weren't smartphones like they are now, but you had a phone. And
the mountain service was horrible.
I left the kids on top of the mountain in the house we were staying at. Some friends let us stay there with the kids. So there the kids are with Darcy. I drive into town to go to the grocery store because the kids do not want to be in the car anymore. It's been a long day.
Hairpin turns.
So I kind of know where the grocery store is, but there's no Google Maps and all that stuff. You're kind of towns this way. There'll be a grocery store. Find grocery store. Find your way back up the mountain. And as I'm driving down, I realize if something happens, they can't call me and I can't call them. And it was like the first time in years that I didn't have this. And I started laughing. I thought, man, when people settled these mountains, they kissed their wives and kids goodbye, and they said, I'm going to town.
Yeah.
I'll be back in three days with supplies.
Yeah.
And the wife and the kids went, okay, sounds good to us.
Yeah.
And you didn't see them. You thought, well, maybe they died. Maybe they didn't die. What do we do? I mean, you just think about how in touch we are now. And if you took that away from people, I think most people would lose their mind.
I know my kids would.
They'd lose their mind.
I found if it's like Monday through Friday and mm-hmm. I don't have my phone, then I can get some anxiety because, all right, what am I missing?
What am I missing
is, okay, I got two guys in downtown Jacksonville and I got my son and one other guy down in Daytona. And if I don't have my phone and there's something goes wrong there or there, so that's the only anxiety I would have because, you know, I don't want anything to happen to my guys.
So when phones first started and we had to carry them all the time, I joked that I was going to have a box on the front porch
mm-hmm.
where you would have to drop your cell phone if you came to visit me once I retired. I have amended that now. It will now be a lead line box that will cut all signals to everything, right? Whatever the metal is that I have to get. And no one's coming in the house with a cell phone.
Well, you came
to talk to me. We're going to sit, talk, drink, eat, whatever.
Right.
But no damn cell phones.
Last night, we go to Cantina Louie's for Taco Tuesday,
mm-hmm.
and we're all sitting there at the table. Phones are down. You know, we're talking. We're looking at each other. We're smiling. We're laughing. We're eating. And I start to realize there's a dad with his daughter at a booth, not even 4 feet away from us. They're both on their phones. She's like slouched down, like she's not even there. And she's on her phone. They're not looking at each other. They're not even looking up when they take a drink. And I look at my daughter and she kind of glances over and I was like, so do you wish you were her or are you glad you're not her? Just because they don't have their own phones. And she's like, I'm glad I'm not her. And it's sad to see that.
About once every 3 or 4 weeks, I take all my kids out to dinner.
Mm-hmm.
They usually go for Longhorns or Gypsy.
Do they treat you or do you treat them? It's okay. We don't need to know the answer. It's all right.
What do you think?
I know the answer. Yeah. I have kids.
Yeah. And
I have kids your kids age. I know the answer.
I think
First of all, if I made them buy dinner, I'd put them in debt for like a month.
Yeah. But the first time I took them all out to dinner, mm-hmm. you know, after, you know, not having family meals for a while, I was shocked. They would not put their phones down.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got a little bit of leverage with Grady because he was only 14 or 15 at the time. But Kelly, Casey, and Riley,
mm-hmm.
they're in their 20s and they're just stabbed. You know, hey, I'm like, well, the conversation's going on up here. It's kind of,
yes.
It's eye to
eye. My eyes are here.
Yeah.
My eyes are here.
I said, I'm looking for a facial expression. I'm looking for a response. I'm looking for your body language.
Yeah.
And the body language is this.
Yeah. Do you know how many back problems young people are going to have in their 30s?
Scoliosis, I can't tell you
probably, right?
How many videos there are on YouTube for how to fix the hump behind your neck because everyone has such bad posture from cell phones and computers and stuff. So there's just a ton of videos from like chiropractors and stuff on how to fix the negative ramifications of bad posture due to cell phones and devices.
Instagram back pain tips. Yeah. One of the best sites. It's awesome. No, there's all kinds of, there's another one, somebody Dr. Josh.
My phone to see.
But I'm going to tell you,
my phone.
These guys on those sites, there's a couple of sites out there where they basically go through almost every body part that you could possibly injure as a guy and show you how to fix it. And some of the fixes are like, and you try it and you're like, oh my God, that's amazing. I immediately feel better. Like, how did I not know that was the stretch you're supposed to
look at?
I'm going to show you both of them when we leave because for surfing and some of those exercises, there's some elbow release things they do. There's some middle back release. I got you.
Yeah,
I 100% got you. Yeah.
YouTube videos is how I took care of my tennis elbow.
Yes. Yeah.
I got tennis elbow when Riley was born from holding her.
This
thing.
So
I got shoulder tendonitis.
I work out with Salmon Services, right? And I sometimes get this elbow condition from surfing or playing tennis, right? Mm-hmm. And so he brings out this ice ball that's in a little cup. So you hold the cup part of it, it's plastic. The ball is a metal ball that you put in the freezer. You drop it in, screw a little cap on it, so you can hold it without having to touch the cold part.
Uh-huh.
It's amazing what it does. And so I look at him after 10 minutes of this ice therapy, and I'm like, you know, we've been going surfing for 11 years. This would be great to bring along your trip. Oh, I have one at home.
But you don't have one.
What? I have aren't now. You, are I got one now.
You're at Sal like this.
I got one now. I said, thanks for telling me they existed. Thanks for bringing it on the surf trip. All the times that I could have used the ice ball. That I, thank you for that. If nothing else, I could have dropped it in a big glass of bourbon.
Yeah.
If nothing else, it would have been useful for that.
Do you make those big ice cubes?
Yes.
My brother-in-law does.
I don't make the big. They're
huge.
I mean, yeah, you can like make huge ones. The smaller ones are better.
Okay.
So I have a bunch of cute. Yes, Amanda.
Yeah, we have the ice ball molds, and we also have skull molds because my husband likes skulls. So I got him skull molds for ice cubes.
Does he put bourbon in there?
Yeah.
Okay.
What vodka? What's the drink? You do something with it that's like vodka and lime juice or lemon juice or something.
Just vodka soda, and then I juice limes and freeze them in a little ice cube and put a little lime ice cube in it.
That sounds pretty good.
Mm-hmm. No, Amanda's got the whole drinking thing. You have to. She's got three kids at home.
Yeah.
You have to be creative because, A, you can't afford the expensive bars, and mm-hmm. B, they have to go to bed, so you have to stay in.
How old are your kids, Amanda?
They range in age from 13, 11, and then just 7. She just turned 7.
Okay. At what age did they get smartphones?
They don't have smartphones.
Oh, I thought you said at dinner they had phones. Mm-hmm. I misunderstood.
Yeah.
The other table did.
My daughter, who's 13, she'll be 14 in January, she was the one I asked, do you wish you were that girl who slumped over on her phone, not even looking at her father, because she wants to have a cell phone. It's like, do you wish you're her, or are you glad that you don't have that phone right now? And she admitted that she was glad she didn't have the phone, and she was talking to all of us.
Do y'all have a date or an age when you're going to give her a smartphone?
We told her that she could have a phone when she could afford to buy it.
Oh.
Ooh, old school. Old school, baby. I like this.
How about when did Wesley get a phone?
Well, there's a lot of debate in our house. Wesley got one in eighth grade. Okay. At the end of eighth grade.
Okay.
Reese got one at the beginning of eighth grade.
Okay.
Ethan got one, I think, at the end of seventh grade.
Okay.
So for her, the whole world ended whenever they got phones sooner than she did, right? It was like, and we just looked at our kids and went, look, if you're the oldest, nothing's fair.
Right.
And you're the youngest. You want to do everything the older kids want to do and you can't do any of it. Don't worry. When you roll around, you'll get the best car.
Yeah.
And the three elders are like, why does he get the best car? Because he's the youngest. We're going to feel guilty about giving you guys pieces of crap, and we'll buy him something nice.
Good.
Plus, we don't have to take care of you three like we'll take care of the four of you now. Yeah. So we'll have money to give him a nice car. And that's exactly the way it rolled.
It's
in my family, too. I was the oldest one.
It's all about the equation.
Yes.
So Riley was beginning of eighth grade, but she had to share it with Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
It's because they were both going to Gamble Rogers. So they're going to Gamble Rogers, and they would get
that might be the harshest thing I've ever heard anybody do. Not share a car, not share a room, not share a bathroom. They have to share a phone, so, and they're opposite sex.
And Riley's older, obviously, and uh-huh. So Kelly's like, Dad, like really? I'm in the sixth grade. You know, there's girls that want to talk to me and stuff.
Yeah,
like son, this is what we've decided. So, anyways. I guess Riley was maybe going
parenting in. Hall of shame. Shame.
I don't know. I think this is brilliant because then you have them checking up on each
exactly.
other.
Exactly. Thank you so much. That was my.
I think it's brilliant
because they narked each other out. It was so good. And oh my god! And I didn't even know you could text message.
Yeah.
That's when I learned you could text message. Yeah. Dad, you got to look at this. I'm like, what is this?
When texting came along, the kids jumped right to it.
Yeah.
Right. They were right all in. Parents, not so much. I would get a text from somebody I had never gotten a text from before, and I would text them back, which one of your children has a cell phone? Because I knew the kids taught them how to text, right? Because if you called the kids, they wouldn't answer you. They just text you back. Yeah. What do you want?
Yeah.
I'm not talking on the phone. What do you want?
Yeah.
My daughter, we had the Nextel, the beep beep, right?
Oh,
the radio.
My gosh, yeah.
I love that feature, right? Yeah. Loved it.
You got beep beep. Hey, you know, you can hear me.
Yeah. I would hit the beep beep button. I would get a text back. What do you want? I'm not doing the beep beep.
Yeah.
I'm not doing it. She just wouldn't do it. So I'm not going to do it.
We are out of time, gentlemen.
All right. This is St. Augustine This Evening. We'll be back tomorrow.